I'm always looking for screen-free options to entertain my kids, especially my oldest when we have long car rides or things like that. And something that I really love using with him are podcasts. And there's a really cute new podcast called Mysteries About True Histories, which the acronym is MATH, M-A-T-H. And it's from the creators of the hit podcast Who Smarted and Netflix Brainchild. And it's all about the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories. And it follows these two characters, Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers. And they're on adventures through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and it's really funny, which makes learning kind of cool. And it's perfect for ages 6 and up. So new episodes drop every Thursday, each stacked with so much laughter your kids won't even realize how much they're actually learning. And my oldest is about 6 and a half, and he loves stuff like this. So it's a great new podcast to introduce to your kids. The episodes are really short, like 15 to 20 minutes. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your older kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Shepherd-Ota, and today I'm talking with professional beach volleyball player, wife, and toddler mom, Betsy Flint. Betsy is a six-time AVP champion, two-time AVCA All-American, and is currently in the race towards the 2024 Paris Olympics, while also somehow balancing motherhood. Betsy is passionate about empowering women to follow their goals, and I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
I just have to ask, because I'm not an athletic person at all, I would love to hear about like just your journey with juggling this intensely physical job and also the physicality of being a mom, because just parenting my kids on a day-to-day basis is enough to like make my body completely break down. How do you do that?
It's very challenging. I feel like each stage has been hard. My daughter is turning 3 in a couple weeks. And it's been different every year. We're finally sleeping. As of like a couple weeks ago, we're sleeping through the night, which is a big win.
Yay!
For us. And that
I
makes all the difference for training. It's really hard to wake up when you're up a couple times in the night or awake for 2 or 3 hours just playing.
Yes.
I'm very fortunate. My husband helps out a ton. I would consider him one of the primary taker for my daughter, which I know your husband recently
is now the
primary caretaker. So it's very challenging too. He does work a full-time job, but he gives me a lot of flexibility and I'm able to train all morning. And then I come home and I'm a mom. And I have found that I am conditioning way less in the gym because I need the energy to condition with my toddler.
Yes.
We're always outside on the bike, running around. And so I feel really good on the court, even cutting out some of that conditioning. So, yeah, it's been an adjustment. It's awesome, though.
Where do you guys live?
We live in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. So you do get a lot of like nice outside time and warmth.
Yes.
That's
yes,
great.
Occasional rain like today, but can't complain. It'd be hard to be in a snowy place.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking of everybody right now just dealing with winters, and it's so tough when you have little ones that have tons of energy that they need to get out. Can you talk to us a little bit? Because a lot of my audiences, you know, they know me from my sleep page, so they're very interested in this topic. So I would love to hear, you said your daughter's almost 3 and she just recently started sleeping through the night, which I mean, to me, is very normal, right? In a lot of other places and cultures, it's very normal and accepted and expected. But it seems like here we have this expectation that babies should start sleeping through much sooner than that. So can you talk to us a little bit about your sleep journey with your daughter?
Yes, I would say she's never been a great sleeper. And it's hard when I'm comparing to other people. Yeah. My sister has a daughter that's 7 or 8 months older, and she's been a great sleeper since she was an infant. Mm. And it's been hard because that's my expectation of like, you should be sleeping long stretches. I mean, you're 2 years old. You shouldn't be awake for 2 or 3 hours a night. I feel like every time she started sleeping consistently, something changed, something happened, and we went back. And it's hard on my body. Sleep is super important for recovery. So my husband's been great with taking her in the night. But not until recently, and she's almost three, something clicked where we have the hatch that has a blue light or whatever, you can make whatever color. And we've talked about it for so long, like we don't wake up, we don't get out of our room until the blue light comes on. And I don't know what happened, but one day it switched. And we did travel internationally. Maybe that just flipped her all the way around and something clicked. So not until, a couple weeks ago did it change. And I don't want to jinx it, but it's been very helpful.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah, sometimes travel, I notice that a lot of times parents are worried about travel, like messing up sleep. But I do hear sometimes about this situation that you just described where a big trip or something like that kind of like resets them in a way and then they start sleeping, or the family like moves into a new house and they start sleeping. It's so funny. It's just, you never know what you're going to get with toddlers and sleep, because it can just be all over the map. Even if they were a good sleeper as a baby, it's not guaranteed in toddlerhood. I did a whole episode on that because it really is so true. So when you're not getting sleep, and you mentioned it sounds like she had split nights where she was up for like extended periods in the night. So you mentioned that your husband would be kind of the one on duty. Was that something that you guys have done throughout her life and throughout her infancy? Did she ever go through like a separation anxiety phase from you, or have like a preference for one of you, or how did that all go? Because I know a lot of parents struggle with one partner being like super, super preferred and the other one having a harder time settling for the toddler.
Yeah, I would say I have been the preferred parent maybe until this second year. I was playing, and I travel so much. We travel internationally and domestically, I'd say on average 2 weeks every month while we're in season. So once that happened, it switched and my husband was the default parent, and that was really hard on me. It is amazing in the night when she only goes to him.
Yeah.
But it's hard because I want to help, and when I try to help, I make it worse. So I try to step back. So it does hard. It's hard. It fluctuates for sure. But my husband has been preferred.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know the best way to handle it. I think part of it is that I haven't been there consistently like he has. So he is, the safe one.
Yeah.
But that's been a challenge for us.
Yeah, I think it's a challenge for a lot of people. And when one person's traveling or one person's not there, sometimes it's easier for the child to accept the non-preferred parent because they like don't have another choice. And sometimes if you're both available and you're both home, that's when it can be really tricky. How have you managed to like balance not just your training schedule and, you know, all of the stuff that you need to do for yourself physically, but like mentally? How do you find time to take care of your mental health? Do you get time for like other hobbies, or is it really just all about your sport right now because that's what life looks like?
Yeah, I know it's a phase, but I'm pretty much all in on my sport, working out, and all in on being a mom. Mm. And I do think being physically active really helps me mentally. The days I get that time to myself, to work on myself, I am such a better parent. So that has been really helpful. And I just, with our schedules right now, it's been a disconnect with me and my husband. And I just have to keep reminding myself, like, this is a phase, like, she's so young, like, we're choosing to do this, and we're eventually going to find that time to connect. It's hard. We live in a place without family. So it's just us juggling. We have great friends, but you know, that's different than having family around. I'm fortunate enough that my mother-in-law does work remotely. So oftentimes when I travel, she'll come into town and she'll work in the mornings. And then when my husband goes to work, she'll watch Cora. So that's been super helpful. I definitely couldn't be doing what I'm doing without her. So I'm so grateful for her.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, having family support, we have the same thing. We have, my husband's whole family is here in San Francisco. And it was even like the deciding factor on whether or not we were going to have a third kid, because if we didn't have that support system, we would have been like, absolutely not. There's no way that we can juggle three kids, just the two of us, or even, you know, two is, it was a struggle sometimes. So that's so nice that you have that, because it can be really hard to be away from, not only just for the help, but for just like the support system and for your child to have like these multiple attachment figures that they get to grow up with and that love them. And that's such a special thing. What lessons have you learned with juggling these two roles, and how is it different from life before you had a child? How have things kind of changed or evolved, and how do you feel about your sport and the time it takes now that you're a mom?
Yeah, I've definitely learned so much. I think something that's really helped me is honing in on my why, and that's really helped improve my game. Before, I for sure was intentional with practice, but now I'm like, man, I'm taking time away from my daughter, from my husband. Like, I want to make this purposeful. So it's really helped me shift my why. And part of it is inspiring my daughter to pursue her dreams when she gets older, whatever that may be, and just to go all out with that. And I definitely want to inspire moms and young women all around that they can continue to pursue their dreams after they have kids. And yes, it looks different, but it's definitely worthwhile.
Does she get it? Like, does she watch you on TV or anything like that and kind of understand, or not quite yet?
A little bit. Like, she'll watch me on TV, and sometimes she gets upset when I'm gone, and sometimes they can watch it. I think it depends on how she's feeling. And yeah, I think that was a big shift for me. Talking to my sports psychologist right after having her, I was worried that she was going to be so mad at me and hate that I was leaving. He just told me, he's like, you know, you've got to accept it. Like, she's allowed to be mad. She's allowed to be upset about it. And the more you accept it and embrace it, the better off she's going to be, and the more she's going to get over it and understand it. So I'm trying to do that. It's challenging for sure. When I come home, I had a time where she like wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't come to me. Like, it was so different, and that was so hard. It hurt my heart for sure. But she did eventually, you know, get through it. And yeah, I think it helps our relationship too.
Yeah, of course. You mentioned that it's important to you too to be like a role model for her, to show her that you can pursue your dreams and your goals and also be a mom. So are there any like specific lessons that you hope that your daughter or other young girls kind of take away from your experience? Like, I know that sometimes that idea of like you can have it all is, I don't know, I guess it's become a little bit controversial to say that like a woman can have it all and can do it all, because the reality is that you do actually really need a lot of support to be able to do it all. So what do you think about that? And do you feel like you could be doing all of this without a support system?
Yeah, I could not be doing this without a support system. It just takes so much sacrifice. But I do hope these young women see that if you're determined and you want to do something, you are very capable, and there's a way. It may be tricky. You may have to navigate some things, but there is a way if you want something, and just to go 100%, go all out for whatever you want.
Yeah. Is this something that was always kind of a dream of yours, or did it evolve and go further than you ever like could have dreamed of?
It's definitely evolved. To start, I did want to have kids young, and it's very hard when you're an athlete to know when to do that. And the timing was right for us in COVID. There was a break in tournaments, and it was still hard. I had those self-doubts of like, well, I still have the same competitive edge. Will my body be able to like recover and get stronger? And once I accepted, like, those are uncertainties, those are unknowns, and there's nothing I can do about them. And I just get to navigate whatever comes my way. And I definitely have not lost competitiveness. It comes and goes for sure. When I'm at home, I'm less competitive, but when I'm on the court, like, I'm able to just focus and kind of forget about everything and compete. And that's been very rewarding for me.
That's awesome. Do you feel like as Cora, your daughter, as she gets older, she'll do more of the traveling with you? Or have you talked about like what that will look like once she starts school or things like that? Because I know you mentioned that sometimes she'll go, she'll travel with you, but not always, right?
Yeah, I would love it. It's hard on my husband. He does still work, and, you know, traveling with a toddler by yourself and I wouldn't be there helping as often would be very challenging. So it's kind of on him. Yeah. But I do love when she's able to watch me in person, and we do get downtime between tournaments. And that's the hardest part. Like, once the tournaments start, I'm pretty busy with the film, the practices, and preparing, that it's easy to be distracted. It's right when we're done with that tournament, if we lose, like I want to change my flight and go home as soon as I can. So for sure, I'd love for her to travel. With school coming up, hopefully in the fall, it might look different, but we will figure that out when we get there.
Do a lot of your teammates have kids as well, or is that something that you're kind of like alone in your experience being a mom right now?
We do play 2-on-2. So me and my partner, she's a little younger. She does not have kids, but there are other international players who have kids. And it's cool to talk with them like between tournaments, like, how are you doing? How are the kids? And there's one girl from Brazil and she has a few kids and they were able to travel to a tournament. And I thought that was so special. They're a little older, so they can, you know, sit there and watch. But that's really inspiring. And there's been a ton of female athletes who are inspiring to me, especially in beach volleyball. So I know it's possible. And you just don't know how much sacrifice they went through until you do it yourself. So I have way more respect for all the moms now that I'm a mom.
That's amazing. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Now, if you know me, you know that I love to cook and I love creating healthy meals for my family. But even more than that, I love things that are easy and convenient. And even though I love to cook dinner for my kids, sometimes for things like lunches or if I'm just going to be working at night and need something easy for myself to grab, I love Factor's meals. And especially now in the spring and summertime where we've got more plans, we're busier, we're outside, we're going out and doing things more, having Factor meals in my fridge is such a game changer because they're healthy, they're zero prep, and they're so fresh and delicious. Factor's fresh and never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes right from your microwave. So no matter how busy you are, you always have time to enjoy nutritious and great tasting meals. And when I tell you they are actually delicious, I 100% recommend these. My mom even recently asked me, are they really good? I heard you talking about them on your podcast, but are you really saying that you like them? And I said, yes, you have to order them. They are actually so, so yummy. So what are you waiting for? There are 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons you can choose from each week. So you always have new flavors to explore. You'll never get bored with the same old meals. They truly taste like restaurant quality, so you don't feel like you're depriving yourself of anything. It actually feels like you're fueling up your body with delicious food that is real and super, super nutrient dense. So you can enjoy this effortless support to your lifestyle, choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage whatever goals you have, and simply just eat well-balanced, delicious, easy food. Head to factormeals.com/nooneToldUs50 and use code nooneToldUs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. So this is an amazing deal. That's code nooneToldUs50 at factormeals.com/nooneToldUs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% of your next month while your subscription is active. And feel free to send me a message and ask me for my favorite meals because I love talking about them and I'll be happy to help you choose. Today's podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, and medical-grade ingredients. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburn, rashes, and other types of skin damage. And the best part is that it's safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for use on all skin types and all parts of the body, even with rosacea, eczema, or acne-prone skin. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of 5-star reviews and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the littlest member of your family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all your family's skin health needs. I have 3 kids. We have injuries in our house almost daily, and so it's so nice to have Active Skin Repair to reach for in my cabinet because I know that it's safe, natural, and non-toxic. We use it for things like burns or scrapes or cuts. My youngest daughter recently had a really bad finger injury and we were using it on her and it did not sting or burn her at all. So it was perfect. Today, as a listener of this podcast, you can get a special discount on your order of Active Skin Repair. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more, and to get 20% off your order, use code NOONETOLDUS. That's activeskinrepair.com, code NOONETOLDUS for 20% off your order.
So, Betsy, you are such a busy mom. I would love to hear if you have any tips or words of wisdom or just insights into how you kind of manage your day or your week as a professional athlete to kind of find time for both training and spending time with your daughter? Like, how do you and your husband kind of divide up the tasks and make it all happen?
Finding time to prioritize yourself. For me, I'm very fortunate that my job is working out, but I feel like that movement and just spending the time outside of my house helps me become a better mom. So I'd say that's very important. And we did the same for my husband. We got him a gym membership with a daycare where he's able to drop her off and work out. And at first it was very challenging because she cried so hard that she threw up and my husband was traumatized and didn't want to go back. But now she's at a place where she really loves it and it's great for socializing. And then my husband gets to spend time to himself. He gets to work out, use the amenities. So that was huge for us. So if people can afford it, I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, that's such a good hack. And honestly, it doesn't even have to be expensive. We used to belong to the Y, just the YMCA here, because I was teaching yoga there. And so we would just, you know, go. I would teach my class. My husband would get to have his workout and we would put our son in the little daycare. And yeah, it's like such a good hack because you can put them in the daycare and, you know, as long as that goes well, which every kid is different. Everyone has a different temperament. If we tried to leave my daughter in a daycare like that, it would never go over. But yeah, but it's so nice because then you have that time to yourself and the daycare is like included. You don't even have to worry about a babysitter or anything.
Yeah, it's a great resource for sure.
Nice. And then what about like household stuff? Do you guys have a system for who does what? Or is it kind of all on him since he's home with your daughter?
Yeah, we could definitely do a better job with that. We both are equal in a lot of things, which I'm very fortunate. I know not all partnerships are like that, but we work together well in, you know, dividing the tasks. And I'm very grateful for Chase, my husband, for all that he does, because it can be rare to find someone, you know, like our husbands that will take care of kids and do household things.
Yeah, I know. I loved your reel that where you were, I forget exactly how you worded it, but you were just like sharing appreciation for him. And I thought that that was so nice. It's a shame that it's kind of like it's not the norm. I feel like maybe it is in certain places if it's a little more progressive, but yeah, I find, when I get questions about like, how do you get your husband to help clean the house? And I'm just like, oh my God, like my husband does way more of the house cleaning than I do. And I don't know. It works for us, I guess. He doesn't mind doing it, but also, I don't know, he was raised by a single mom and he just kind of like, that's how he was brought up and learned that you have to kind of pull your weight when you're in a household. So I'm glad that you have that support because my heart really does break for moms who feel like they have to do everything. They have to work, they have to take care of the kid, they have to take care of the house. It's just, it's too much for one person.
Yes, it is.
I know you mentioned you did pelvic floor therapy before birth and postpartum. And I did a whole episode recently with Dr. Sarah Reardon at the Vagina Whisperer. And not a lot of people knew about pelvic floor therapy before. I had so many people writing to me like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that this was an option. And this is so great. How did you come to learn about it? And how did it kind of help you with your birth and recovery? Because I know that must have been something you were probably worried about, where, you know, your body is your job. How did that help you?
Yeah, my friend is a midwife and she recommended it late in the second trimester until delivery and then going back after. And it was a huge piece of the puzzle for me. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. She helped with the delivery for sure, just helping me find positions where I can relax and the best birthing position. Things that I wouldn't have known without going to her. And then for sure, postpartum, I got cleared by my midwives around 6 weeks. They're like, yeah, you can go work out. I'm like, okay, I can go jump. I can go do everything. They're like, yeah, you should be good. And I go to my pelvic floor physical therapist and she's like, okay, slow down. I know your goals. I don't think you should be jumping and going 100% yet. And she slowed me down, which is hard for me. But I listened to her and it's definitely paid off. I play a sport where I'm jumping all the time and I didn't want to pee when I jumped.
Yeah.
Because I know that can be a thing. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm happy to report I don't pee when I jump.
That's great.
And I'm grateful for the resource. And I think it should be available to everyone. People don't know about it. And it can be hard to find.
It's like standard care in some countries where all people who give birth get pelvic floor therapy afterwards. And that's how it should be. Because, I went to like a kickboxing class. I was several months postpartum. And we had to do jumping jacks. And I immediately started peeing when I was doing the jumping jacks. And I was just like, okay, this can't be my life now. And so I can't imagine if my job was to be doing that. And I was on TV. Like, I would be so worried about peeing my pants on TV while I was at work.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. So I'm very glad that it helped you.
Yes, for sure. And even the little things like reengaging our core, just, right. You know, it gets a little wrecked when you're pregnant. So
that was
mind blowing just to learn how to reengage my core and build from the ground up.
That's so awesome. I'm so glad you were able to do that. Betsy, we're going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, I want to know what's something that no one told you before becoming a parent that you wish that they had. We'll be right back.
Hello, you sentient ball of stardust. My name is Casey Davis. I'm a therapist and I'm an author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, where I talk about ways to make it a little bit easier to take care of yourself when you're overwhelmed, stressed, have mental health issues, physical health issues, or maybe you're just in a hard season of life. Maybe you're looking for a place that you can come and listen to some practical advice. This is a podcast for all of the self-help rejects. We're going to talk about skills for survival and self-kindness. And I'm going to leave the pop psychology at the door. I promise not to tell you to meditate or to journal. We're just going to give you some really insightful conversations with hopefully some practical advice. So I don't believe you need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't want you to just try harder, and I don't believe that laziness exists. So join me over on Struggle Care, where we can find compassionate solutions that help us function a little bit better.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us. Okay, Betsy. So to wrap up today's episode, one thing that I always love to ask parents when they come on the podcast is, you know, the theme of this podcast is kind of like what no one told you, what people should really be talking about more to help people who are kind of preparing for parenthood. So what would you say is, it can be one thing or multiple things, but what's something that you wish somebody had warned you about, told you about, just filled you in on before you became a mom?
One thing no one told me was just the emotional regulation I need as a parent. It can be very frustrating and challenging, and how my daughter reacts is mainly how I'm reacting. So if I'm irritated and frustrated, whatever the situation is, gets worse. So finding ways to calm down and relax myself. And I think the terrible twos get a bad reputation. Like, it's a lot of times me that's the issue. Yeah, for sure. We have some unreasonable requests, like what color of cup she wants. But how I react is definitely triggering that. So I think that's something people don't talk about often. And it is so important for myself. And I'm learning so much about myself by doing this.
That is so true. I say that all the time, too. Like, that has been one of my biggest light bulb moments as a parent, too, is that it's so much just about me keeping my cool. They're gonna tantrum. They're gonna, you know, do what toddlers do. There's nothing we can really do to change that or to stop it from happening, but we can change how it affects us and how we react to them. Have you found any strategies or like anything that helps you with that?
For sure, taking a step back, it's not always easy. Again, this is easier said than done, but taking a step back and just breathing and just remembering, like, everything's going to be okay. Like, we're safe, we're healthy, everything is fine. And honestly, what's most helpful is my daughter, when she sees that I'm frustrated or overwhelmed, sometimes she'll look at me and she'll say, "Be happy." And she smiles. And it's just such a reminder that they pick up on all of our emotions. Like, when we're irritated and frustrated, like, I want her to be able to see that I have those emotions and that I can get through it and I can find my way to be happy again. And I think it's important that they see it too, that we're not just happy 24/7 or calm 24/7, but they learn how to adjust their emotions based on how we do it.
Yeah, I love that. That's so important. Yeah, and like the modeling piece too, right? So, you know, they see that we have an emotion and how do we deal with it? Do we like flip out and like tip over a table and yell and scream? Well, that's probably what they're going to learn how to do too. So, yeah, it's hard, especially when you weren't necessarily like raised in that way, to have somebody kind of showing you how to feel all those emotions and how to go through them. It's really hard to learn for the first time right alongside your kid.
It is. It is. Actually, the other day, she had this nice dress on. It's supposed to be for my sister's wedding. And of course, we were eating in it, and she spilled ketchup on it. And I was like, no, no.
Oh my God,
and
of course it was ketchup.
Accidents happen. Yes. Oh. She's like, accidents happen. It's okay. I'm like, deep breath. Oh. You're right. It's okay. These clothes really don't matter. Like, we're, again, safe and healthy. So she definitely does a great job of reminding me to keep my emotions in check.
Yeah, they really humble us, don't they? And yeah, this age too is, you're like coming up to three, which for me was a challenging age. So yeah, keeping all of that in mind is so important. Betsy, I appreciate you joining us on the podcast so much. How can listeners connect with you and follow along with your journey to the Olympics?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram at Betsy Flint, BETSIFLINT. I'm active there. If you have questions about anything, feel free to DM me and I will get back to you.
Cool. And then where will we be able to kind of like keep up with your journey? Will you just share updates on your Instagram page, or do you have a website that people should check out, or how can we support you?
Yeah, I will be on Instagram sharing updates and where to follow along. When we have tournaments coming up, I will post links where you can watch, and that is, yeah, the best place to find me.
Okay, so cool. We'll all be rooting for you. So thank you so much for joining and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Hello, you sentient ball of stardust. My name is Casey Davis. I'm a therapist and I'm an author of the book, How to Keep House While Drowning, where I talk about ways to make it a little bit easier to take care of yourself when you're overwhelmed, stressed, have mental health issues, physical health issues, or maybe you're just in a hard season of life. Maybe you're looking for a place that you can come and listen to some practical advice. This is a podcast for all of the self-help rejects. We're going to talk about skills for survival and self-kindness. And I'm going to leave the pop psychology at the door. I promise not to tell you to meditate or to journal. We're just going to give you some really insightful conversations with hopefully some practical advice. So I don't believe you need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I don't want you to just try harder, and I don't believe that laziness exists. So join me over on Struggle Care, where we can find compassionate solutions that help us function a little bit better.